Where does the start of the story of the God family begin? Where in your Bible would you turn to look for the beginning? Last time I gave a sermon entitled God Our Father, where we saw how the Father and Jesus the Son worked out their plan of salvation for mankind. And we focused on the Father's, God the Father's involvement throughout the Bible. Today, we will look more into the Word that became flesh and dwelt with man. We will focus on the Word's involvement with mankind before he was born as flesh, as Jesus the Christ. I've titled this sermon, God, the Word. So where do you turn to see the real beginning of the God family? Well, there was no beginning for them, as they have always existed. But the closest we can determine is in John chapter 1 and verse 1. If you want to start turning there. Not Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, but John chapter 1 and verse 1. So let's look at that. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Quite a few commentaries, like Barnes, say the phrase in the beginning clearly means before creation, when there was nothing, just these two supreme beings. The Word, or logos, has confounded many scholars over the years who try to explain why he was called this. Matthew Henry's concise commentary says, "The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our words explain our minds to others, so was the Son of God sent in order to reveal his Father's mind to the world." What the evangelists say of Christ proves that he is God. He asserts his existence in the beginning, his coexistence with the Father, the Word, was with God. All things were made by him and not as an instrument. Without him was not anything made that was made, from the highest angel to the meanest worm. That's Matthew Henry's quote. This shows how qualified he was for the work of our redemption and salvation. As I have said before, the Word served as a divine spokesman for God, for God the Father. Jesus also created everything with God the Father by his side, as we saw in the last sermon, God our Father. So we do not have to refer to the scriptures to prove this again. So this is the beginning of the story of the relationship of God the Father and the one called the Word, who would become Jesus. And how do we know that? Well, we look at verse 14 of John chapter 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The Word, who was always with God and was God, is God, now became like you and me. John the Baptist knew this. Look at the next verse here. We look at the next verse, verse 15 of John chapter 1. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." God gave John that understanding. You see, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, who was born 6 months prior to Jesus. So to say that Jesus was before him shows that John was given this great knowledge from God through the Holy Spirit. There's no other way he would have known that. Now let's look at this great mystery revealed by God to God's children through the very same Spirit and power of God. Jesus declared of himself that he had preexisted to the Pharisees, scribes, and the others while defending himself of accusations in the temple. In John chapter 1, John chapter 8, they were accusing Jesus of having a demon. And he told them that he did not, of course, and he had honored God the Father in all that he did. He told them, if anyone keeps his word, they shall never see death. Then they bring up Abraham and the prophets, claiming that, well, they were righteous, but they're dead. And they gathered about Jesus and asked him, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" This is what they said to Jesus. "Who do you make yourself out to be?" Then Jesus tells them in John chapter 8, in verse 56, John chapter 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The Jews knew exactly what he meant, or what he was trying to imply, which is why they immediately tried to stone him to death. Jesus was saying that he was the very God of Israel, but they didn't get it, and they definitely didn't accept it. "I am" denotes absolute existence. And in this saying, Jesus was clearly stating his preexistence and divinity. This, of course, is why they wanted to kill him right then and there. Of course, as we have saw the last time, the identity was given to Moses by God. So let's go back and look again at this profound meeting between Moses and the one identified as the great I Am. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 13 is where we'll start. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, the eternal God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Who is this God talking to Moses? We know this is not an angel or a messenger from God, but God himself. We also know that this is not God the Father. Since we have read the scriptures before where Jesus and his disciples said that no one has ever seen God the Father or heard his voice. If you recall John chapter 5 verse 37 and John chapter 1 verse 18, those verses. This has to be God, the Word. The Word that was with God in the beginning. The Word that became flesh. The God being known as Jesus the Christ. Jesus was there speaking to Moses. Moses was looking at a burning bush that wasn't burning up as it should have been. But he was hearing the words spoken to him by Jesus before he became known as Jesus. The Word, the God being who was with the other God being, now known as the Father, had volunteered to be the spokesman for the family of God. And he interacted with mankind, created after the God kind, in this physical world. This gesture and future sacrifice for their creation is why God the Father gave the Word the privilege of creating this physical universe and then the ability to interact with it. Jesus was talking to Moses. Did Moses ever see Jesus? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. It seems that God the Word, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, was present there in some form. Probably as a man, but unlike a man, and more like an angel, but not an angel. These appearances are kind of described like this throughout the Bible as when it happens, as we will see. In this case, we see one called the angel of the Lord, or the angel of the eternal. Is this the pre-incarnate Jesus? Exodus chapter 3, if you're still there, look at verse 2. And the angel of the eternal appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Eternal saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Right here, it is plain to see that this angel of the Lord, or this angel of God, is God. And therefore the Word, before he became known as Jesus. When the Bible has the word angel with a capital A, it is referring to Jesus. It is referring to the Word. Because right here it talks about the angel of the eternal, and that God is the one that is looking. So it's both phrases are right there. So it's very, very clear that this same angel of the eternal is the Word, is Jesus. In Exodus chapter 14, if you want to turn there, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19, and the angel of God, angel again in capital letters, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Now this here is when the angel of God was guiding the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. God the Word also appeared in some form with Moses here. So the angel of God was present with this moving of the pillars. Now there's another instance here where God, the Word, appeared before Moses, Aaron's sons, and 70 elders. You'll turn to Exodus 24, verse 9. What I want to do is I want to clearly show you where the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appeared to those in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 9, then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he, meaning God, did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Now only Moses was allowed to come close to God, as the instructions were clearly in verse 2, if you want to look at that another time. Because verse 2 explains that the others were not to come all the way up close to God. And God did not touch the nobles, or the elders in this case. He did touch Moses, though. Here the elders apparently saw a manifestation of God in the person of a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. It seems they were also given a vision of the very throne of God. The sapphire is used in other scriptures to describe God's throne. You can look at Ezekiel. There's a couple places in Ezekiel. One of them I'll give to you is Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26, where it's describing God's throne. Another time, Moses spoke to God where he was visible to see him. In Exodus 33, verse 11, Exodus 33 and verse 11. So the Eternal spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So here again, he was speaking to him, and there's other examples where he would go into the tent and he would speak to Jesus in some form like a man. However, Moses became very bold and asked if he could really see God in all his glory. If you're still in Exodus 33, skip down to verse 19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Eternal before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Eternal said, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on that rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. He had to shield Moses' body in rocks, pretty much cover him in rocks, and then cover him while he passed by, only then allowing Moses to see him as he walked away. He could not survive seeing God's face because it is so brilliant. You can see that in Revelation when it shows what Jesus will look like when he returns. He could not survive to see God's face in all of its glory, in Jesus' face in all of its glory. In fact, just seeing God's back had an effect on Moses. In the next chapter, chapter 34, the Word actually does show his glory, at least his backside, to Moses while he gives him instructions before going down the mountain. And that was kind of mentioned in the sermonette where he was explaining himself as he was walking by. And so these instructions that he did tell him of how it was going to happen in chapter 33 actually happened in the early part of chapter 34 of Exodus. But now towards the end of Exodus, after Moses got a glimpse of God, verse 29, now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain. This is the second set of commandments. That Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked to him, meaning God. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. He was glowing just from seeing God's glory as he walked away, the backside, because he couldn't see the face. If he saw the face, he probably would have been incinerated. But he was glowing. And Moses had to wear a veil on his face because it was shining so much. So these are some of the instances here where Moses saw the Word, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So basically, who else in the Bible saw the Word, saw God the Word, the pre-incarnate Jesus? Who else saw? Here's a clue in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2 and 3. Exodus chapter 6, 2 and 3. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the God, I am the Eternal. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but my name eternal, or Lord in all caps, Yahweh, or I am, I did not make myself known to them. They only knew God as God Almighty. They didn't know him by these other names. He didn't reveal that. But it says right there that he appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let's look at these appearances here to the patriarchs. We have turned to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 7. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. Then the Eternal appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Eternal who had appeared to him. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Eternal came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Genesis chapter 18 in verse 1. Genesis chapter 18 in verse 1. Then the Eternal appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." This whole chapter is a classic appearance of the Word of Jesus Christ. Abraham hurries his servants and his wife to prepare a meal for the pre-incarnate Jesus and two angels. It was not just a piece of bread that he was going to bring them, but it was more like a feast. If you read on. So, it is here, during this, that God the Word hears Sarah laugh at his saying that she will bear a son. This is a fascinating chapter here. It is also here where Abraham boldly bargains with God to spare Sodom from destruction as the two angels went on ahead towards Sodom to destroy it. God the Word appeared before Isaac twice, as recorded in Genesis. I'll just give you the verses, and you can check these later, but in Genesis chapter 26, verse 2 and verse 24, he appeared before Isaac. He also appeared to Jacob, first in a dream or a vision, which is recorded in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. Story of Jacob's ladder. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Eternal stood above it and said, I am the Eternal God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Eternal is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. From the United Church of God's commentary, edited by Tom Robinson, says, when Jacob awoke, he took the stone at which was his headrest and anointed it, setting it up for a pillar or a sacred stone. It appears that Jacob took this stone with him on his journeys, especially since he mentions the stone in the context of returning to Isaac in verses 20 through 22 of that same chapter. Apparently setting it up and anointing it again at Bethel later in Genesis chapter 35, verses 14 and 15. And still later, at the end of his life, he seems to have prophesied that it would be with the descendants of Joseph in the end time. Genesis 49, verse 24. A prophecy that this same stone would be with the descendants of Joseph in the end time. And it may very well be in a church somewhere in Scotland to this day. Now, Genesis 35, verses 9 and 10 records the last time that God appeared before him, before Jacob. But the account here is quite unique. It is here that Jacob wrestles with God, the Word. Jacob wrestled with Jesus, a pre-incarnate Jesus. Verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So it was also during this confrontation with God that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. But again, he appeared as a physical man and wrestled with Jacob all night, until he finally blessed Jacob. Now, these are the records of God the Word appearing before the patriarchs. So did the pre-incarnate Jesus appear to anyone else? Well, we could say that since God was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, that it must have been the Word. We know it wasn't God the Father. And we know that God was in the midst of the garden walking. He was with Adam while he named the animals. And he was there when he caused a great sleep to fall on Adam while he created Eve. He was also walking in the garden looking for them after they had sinned. After explaining to them how this sin was going to produce a curse on the land and on mankind, God the Word sent them out of the Garden of Eden and cut off communication with them. Now God the Father and God the Word would continue to interact with mankind to work out their plan of salvation. But again, we know that it was God the Word that did most of the talking. And we can see that after they were removed from the garden, God the Word continued to speak to them, but not face to face. Not until Abraham did he appear to anyone face to face. There is mention of him asking Cain where his brother Abel was. And we see that Enoch walked with God, but it is unclear if he appeared physically to Enoch. We know that he talked with Noah, but again, we do not know for sure how this took place. According to what we do find in the scriptures, both God beings would communicate through angels. God the Word would also communicate through visions or by a voice. And in some cases, as we already went through and looked, he appeared before man. After Moses died, God the Word changed how he would communicate with his future servants. See, he considered Moses as a friend and appeared to him face to face. But then he would only relay messages after that through either the priesthood or through the prophets. And their communication, it seems to have been through either visions or by hearing a voice, either God the Word or an angel. And you even see that in the instances with some of the patriarchs, Jacob seeing a vision, and even Abraham, you know, saw a vision as well, when he wasn't just hearing a voice or seeing them in person. So this is how God the Word was communicating with the people of the Old Testament. So after that, it was through either the priesthood or through the prophets. They would hear a voice, see a vision. Now, God the Word would also appear as this angel of the Lord as well. Joshua most likely heard the voice of the pre-incarnate Jesus or an angel once he took command of the Israelites. Because we can see that in throughout the book, every time that God was speaking to Joshua, it's not talking about an appearance, but a voice. And we do know that at this time that he was speaking through the priesthood. But of course, it's very unclear, so it might have been the incarnate Word actually speaking to Joshua in this instance. However, there is one exception. There is one exception. Joshua chapter 5, if you'll turn there. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joseph was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off, for this place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Sound familiar? See, this is an interesting thing here, because the very next day, or this next day here, was Ahab 15, or Abib 15. And we all know that that was the first day of unleavened bread. It was on this holy day, the first day of unleavened bread, on this holy day, most likely in the evening to remember, a night to be much observed, in the evening, that Joshua encountered the commander of the army of the Lord, who proved to be none other than God himself, since Joshua was permitted to worship him. It wasn't an angel, because as you recall, the angel of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 told John, "No, don't bend down, and I'm just an angel. Don't worship me." Angels would not accept worship. This was God. He told him, "Take off your sandals. This is holy place." This was God. This was God the Word. This was Jesus Christ. And since Joshua was commanded to remove his sandals in this being's presence, just as Moses was commanded to do so before God at the burning bush. So in both cases, this was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appearing before them, and not God the Father. God, that is, the pre-incarnate Christ, made his appearance to Joshua on this occasion to provide encouragement for the task ahead of taking the land. Christ's instructions to Joshua immediately follow in the next verses in chapter 6, verses 2 through 5, according to the United Church of God's commentary. Another time, later on, Jesus once again appears as the angel of God to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. I'll let you guys look that one up for yourselves. So once again, he appears as that angel of the God to Gideon before Gideon's big fight. These are the appearances made by God the Word that are recorded in the Scriptures. Jesus himself told those who would listen that it was he who appeared before those in the Old Testament, and that it was his voice that they heard, of course, when it was not through an angel. However, there is one mysterious figure of ancient times that may also have been the pre-incarnate Jesus. Another appearance by the Word. A very mysterious figure. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. After rescuing his nephew Lot from military capture, Abraham, encounters the mysterious Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave them a tithe of all. This is a fascinating occurrence. Melchizedek greeted Abraham with bread and wine, later to become symbols of Jesus Christ's Passover sacrifice of his body and blood. No coincidence there, you know. Melchizedek addressed God as possessor of heaven and earth. Jesus, 2,000 years later, would address God the Father as Lord of heaven and earth. And this also here shows that Abraham tithed. This is something that the patriarchs probably did later on. He tithed. It's a fascinating thing. This is all it says here about Melchizedek here in Genesis. That's it. Just that one verse that I, those verses I read. That's it. The next occurrence is in Psalm 110. If you want to turn to Psalm 110, which we looked at before. This is where God the Father is talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Eternal said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Eternal shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Eternal has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. See, David wrote this psalm, clearly talking about his Lord. Now, the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary says about this Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is talking about Jesus. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What really brings this home and truly helps us to understand who Melchizedek was is in Hebrews chapter 7. We just begin turning there. Hebrews chapter 7. The Bible scriptures, as we know, is like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to find the correct pieces and put it all together so you can have some proper understanding, with a lot of help from God's Holy Spirit. So let's look at the other big piece of the puzzle. In Hebrews chapter 7, it started in verse 1, which gives a lot more explanation of who Melchizedek was. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. That's a lot to take in. He's the king of Salem. which later would be called Jerusalem. His name means King of Righteousness. Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And Salem means peace, making him the King of Peace. Both these titles rightly belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He had no beginning nor an ending. And like the Son of God, he was a king and he was a priest, just as Jesus is to us today. Jesus is our king and he is our high priest. This is remarkable. This is remarkable. Abraham himself probably did not even realize who he was dealing with at this time. Because it was later when Abraham actually first seen God face to face. There's a lot more that can be said about this if you read that whole chapter speaking about Melchizedek. It's very, very clear that this was the Word, that this was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ that appeared at that time. And the author of Hebrews definitely understood that and is expressing it here. Today we have seen that the Word, who became flesh and blood, the very one we know as Jesus the Christ, was very active in the Old Testament times. This is why many say that he was the God of the Old Testament. But we know that God the Father was very active himself, as this plan of salvation was theirs together. The pre-incarnate Jesus is just the one who volunteered to appear on earth and to interact personally with their creation. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's go back to that for a moment. One more thing I want you to get out of this. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As we can see here from this verse, the Word was in the beginning. Was, this word, was, means that he existed. Not that he came into being. The Word has always existed. Just as we know that God the Father has always existed. They existed together. The next part of this verse says, the Word was with God. In most of our translations, this is what we read. Am I right? This is what you're seeing. However, the original Greek, in the original Greek, this verse is a little different. There is a definite article that is missing in most of our Bibles. The Jubilee Bible adds the original definite article, which makes a very, very big difference. Let me read John chapter 1, verse 1 from the Jubilee 2000 version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God, and the Word was God. The is missing in most translations. But you can see by reading it this way, the Word was with the God, definitely shows that this is saying that there are two separate beings, both called God. As it continues, and the Word was God. Verse 2 in the Jubilee Bible reads as follows. The same was in the beginning with the God. Thus we can see we could read this kind of as, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Word was with the God, the Father. And the Word was also named God Himself. I only mention this as another proof to show that there are two divine beings in the God family. And to disprove those who falsely claim that the Holy Spirit is a third being. For we know that the Holy Spirit is the power and the essence of both God the Father and God the Word, the Son, Jesus the Christ. Jesus was the Word and is the Word. And He still bears the name, the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 19, and I will conclude with this scripture here, showing that He still bears this name, the Word of God. Revelation 19, and let's start in verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God.